Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Church. We exist to honor God through reaching our city and touching the world with the amazing love of Jesus Christ. Now, let's join Pastor Josh Shelton for this life-changing message.
You guys ready for the word? All right. In Matthew 9, 35 through 38, it says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them." That's what I want to focus on today, is compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And actually, I was just thinking about this, and it says the laborers are few. And based on how many people say that they're Christians around the world, that's a pretty good ratio of Christian to non-Christian out there. And I just think it's just such a bummer that in the Bible, that back in that day, and I would say even today, that the laborers are few. Not those that come to church or those that, you know, that we say that we're Christians are few, but the laborers, the ones that are out there actually ministering or you know, we use these words, and I try not to say these words that are churchy words that people wouldn't understand if they don't go to church, but the people that are out there just sharing the love of God to everyone that they meet, doing what God has taught us in this Bible, those are few. And that just bums me out. You know, and I was just contemplating that and wondering why that is. And I believe that's because we don't necessarily, I mean, we get the heart of God, but we don't have the heart of God. Like, it's our heart. And what that is just a compassion. It's a love for everybody. Compassion. You know, last week, I actually came to this message out of last week. Whenever we ended up, there was a few statements about Jonah, the story of Jonah. And those statements were that we might think that the story about Jonah is about Jonah, or that it's about a whale, or the city of Nineveh, but it's not. That the overall theme of that story is God's compassion that he had on a people. All those things that happened to Jonah, or, you know, what was going to happen to the city or didn't happen to the city, all that was to tell the story of compassion that God had in his dealings with somebody on earth that really didn't have that compassion, that wanted to let Nineveh just be wiped off the face of the earth. But God said, "No, I'm not going to do it. If they come to me and repent, I'll have compassion on them. I will receive them." Amen? God is passionate for all people. He possesses a passion. God is love and compassion and merciful and grace, but like, I just imagine him just being moved by compassion. Like, whenever he looks at us, even those of us that are saved, because none of us are really that, none of us are perfect, but he's moved with compassion because he sees a hurting person or people really everywhere. We all have stuff that we need to deal with. And I just can imagine how moved he is when he looks at us. And that's why he did what he did. That's why he sent his son. That's why He gave his son to be sacrificed to die on the cross because he was moved with compassion. Compassion, the actual definition, is a feeling of empathy for others. Compassion is the emotion that we feel in response to the suffering of others that motivates a desire to help. I think I just said that about God. He is motivated to help us because of his compassion. That word describes the mercy of God. And all God has asked us is to try as hard as we can to be like him. And as I study and read, you know, there's all kinds of things that he's told me to do. But the overarching theme, I believe, is as we seek him and seek his heart, what God's heart is that we are to have love and compassion for everyone. Everyone. I know that's a kind of vague, but really, I mean, if I have love and compassion for everyone, it's really opposite of what a lot of us live out each day. And I could even say for myself, you know, I was driving to church, and my son was in the car, and I don't know if he noticed, but like, I was leaving, I left my house, and I went by Starbucks, and then as I was leaving Starbucks, and then when I got to the light, there was like every person in front of me that got in front of me was going slow. And so I was like, ah! I wanted to say, you know, you're trying to talk to them even though they can't hear you, but come on. And I did say that one time. I was like, come on, big guy. You know, I don't know what to say because I'm not like a, you know, I don't cuss or anything like that. So I'm just like, come on, man. Come on, big guy. But I just like, it was like holding myself back because I tend to just get aggravated at people, and I lean toward not having compassion for somebody. We all do. What? I don't need any comments from you here. Come on. This is my wife, and if anybody could give a comment, she could, but I'm not going to let her. But we all lean that direction of not having compassion, you know, but we don't know what's going on in that person's life or what they're dealing with. And if we did, I'm sure we would have compassion. Well, I'm not sure, but we should have compassion on them. Amen? Oh. I mean, how many of us want to experience God's mercy? I do. I do. I want to experience it every day. And I know that it wasn't or isn't my wisdom or my good looks that got me where I am today. That was a joke. You can laugh at it. Okay. No, I know that it wasn't me that's gotten me really anywhere, not just here in the place I am. It was God. Look, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be up here on this stage talking to you. I mean, I'm not that kind of a guy. If you guys knew me, and I've said this before, so if you've been here a while, you probably heard this a couple of times, but if you knew me in school, grade school, high school, I'm not the guy that wants to get up and even share a short story that I wrote in English class. I didn't even want to talk to the teacher ever. I barely talk to the kids in my class. You know, we always laugh. You know, I was actually just talking to somebody about this the other day, but like, you know, we were talking about when we were younger and talking on the phone, which now it's cell phones, but it used to be home phones. But like, it was like the cool thing, you know, you were talking for hours on the phone and I was just sitting there doing my thing and not talking on the phone because why would you talk on the phone for that long? And what do you have to talk about anyways, you know? But that's just me. But just making the point that it's God and his working on me and his mercy and his grace and his compassion that's made me what I am and has made us what we are. I mean, we just have that heart of God, that compassion, I just imagine, of course, we can't be like God and make people who they are, but our compassion and our love for them can help guide them or help encourage them in the direction that they're supposed to go to make them who they are. I can be a catalyst or a help to somebody out there. And I know that that's not going to happen if I'm not being compassionate. Because if I'm out there, I can't believe you did that. You cut in front of me, you know, or, you know, whatever. Somebody did something to me and I'm going to get mad at them and just tell them all the bad things that they are. How in the world is that going to help them in any way? It's not. And look, I've got story upon story of, you know, some of them mine, some of them other people's, but of how compassion and love cuts through anything. It really does. You know, as Tori and I, earlier on in our marriage, we were living next to this older couple, and right next door to us, and he had come over, the gentleman had come over, and he had trouble walking, and he was a bigger guy, and he had diabetes, and he was just in general like a grumpier old guy, you know, like the picture that you would see of the grumpy old man. And he had been over before and kind of yelled at Tori or somebody when they're having, I think, a party, and he's coming over again because I was trimming a limb that was hanging over my driveway, but the tree trunk happened to be just on his side of the property. And he came over just a yelling, and I can't believe it. No, you don't do that. Don't cut that tree down. I'm not, that's on my property. And I was like, oh. And you know, of course, look, don't think that I'm like this all the time. It is not easy for me to be like this, but it just happened to be the grace of God that let me be nice from the start of this conversation, because he was yelling the whole way over, and it took him a long time, like I said, because it was hard for him to walk. And so he's coming over just yelling at me, and I said, you know what, I'm sorry. You know, I realize that that's on your side of the line there of your yard, but you know what, it's hanging over my driveway, and it kept dropping. It was like, you know how the ends of branches just get dead and they fall off. So I had this car, and I'm very particular about my cars, and it just, every day was like a little branch falling on my car, every single day. So I just wanted to cut the thing where it was not hanging over my driveway. And so I just told him, I said, I'm sorry. I don't mean to, you know, offend you, and I wasn't going to cut the tree down. I just wanted to cut this branch over my driveway, and I'm really sorry. I just kept saying I was sorry, and he just was like, oh, you know, it's all right. No, it's no big deal. It's okay. It's okay. He's like, you know, I'm just a grumpy old man, and I mean, you know, it's okay. You know, it's no big deal. And all of a sudden, his yelling and screaming changed to, you know what, he was sorry for coming over yelling at me. And, you know, I didn't say, you know, you need to be sorry that you're yelling at me because you're wrong. No, I just said I was sorry. But all of a sudden, it just changed something in him. And it's amazing. You know, that couple, we actually went over to see them many times after we left because they were always, you know, asking about our kids and telling us about their grandkids and what happened. And they would come over and, you know, say hi to us. And it ended up being so nice. But it just changed in an instant because I had a little bit of compassion. I saw that, you know, this older man had to go to work at Walmart every day and work long hours, even with, you know, this trouble that he had walking and diabetes and all this stuff. And I was just like, man, I feel for him. And it just changed everything in an instant. Same with God and us. Once we receive his compassion, it can change everything in an instant. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4, it says, praise, this is NIV actually because of the way that it says it. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Wow. We have been comforted. We've received compassion from Him. And because of that, we can freely give that to those around us. What's the opposite of that? I was thinking about, you know, you can have compassion, you can have what? What else is it? And it's just selfishness and pride. If I'm not thinking about somebody else, who am I thinking about? I'm just thinking about myself. I'm being selfish. Again, that is what we tend to do, but that's not what God teaches us in His Word. We're supposed to be mindful, and actually mindful, I'll read you the definition. It says, it's attentive, aware, or careful. To be mindful of something or someone. We're supposed to be mindful. Like my mind is not supposed to be on myself, but on other people. On what is maybe the problem that they're dealing with. Not the problem. I mean, again, I know that it's so easy for me to think, you know what, I had a bad day yesterday, and this happened at work, and it really aggravated me. And we're never going to, I don't know, the more selfish we are, the more that we think about ourselves, the more weight and heaviness comes on us. It's amazing how that is. You think that, like, thinking about somebody else, me having compassion or wondering if that person is doing okay and if they need any help, that's gonna bring too much on my life. I can't deal with that now. But that's not the way it works. Isn't that interesting? The more I think about myself and the things that I need, the heavier it gets, the more burdensome I am. But the more that I think about somebody else, the lighter my weight is, because I'm feeling peace and God's grace and His mercy. You know, I was thinking about being mindful of people, and I just thought of a story that recently happened, and actually it's been over the past little bit, but our kids go to a doctor, and he's such a nice guy, and he's always real sweet with the kids and, like, you know, is being super nice. And even, like, kind of sings while he's, like, talking to him, you know. And the kids feel very comfortable. But we've noticed lately that he's not really mindful of the kids' things that are going on in their lives and the reason that they're getting sick. It's kind of like he's thinking about them thinking he's a good guy and getting to the next patient, but not what's actually going on. Because we've had quite a few instances now that where we keep coming back repeatedly for the same thing. It's like, oh, it's okay, we'll just do this and this, and then here you go, and that's it. But there's got to be something more going on there, right? And we realize that there is. But he wasn't mindful of what was going on, all the circumstances, all the things that were happening in their body. And they were more and more sick, more times, even feeling worse than the time before. Because he wasn't mindful. I think also about, you know, as we get into arguments with our friends, our spouses maybe, how many of us are mindful of the other person in that moment? Again, Tori, no comment on that. She's shaking her head. I'm always mindful of you. But how many of us are convinced that, you know, if the other person in this argument would see my side of the story, they would just understand that I'm right, right? I mean, that's just how it goes. There wouldn't be an argument if we were both being mindful of each other. We'd both be saying, oh, I'm sorry, you know what, you're right. No, I'm sorry, you're right. No, I'm sorry. And then we'd probably be arguing about, you know, no, you're right. No, you're right. But that would be better than yelling at each other because we both think we're right. But how many times are we mindful in those situations of the other person instead of being selfish? How many times are we having compassion in those conversations and those arguments? Again, this is a form of selfishness and pride to insist that we see something, the way that we see something is the only way that it really is. We even think that we see people, the way we see people is the way that they really are. You know, for good or bad, actually. And one thing that I've learned is that everybody's got mess. You know, I see a lot of you guys out there, and y'all look so great. Look, you're beautiful, and you're done up. You got your church clothes on. But just like me, you got some mess in your life. You know, I mean, that's the reason we need a loving God to help us, to have compassion on us, right? But so many times we're thinking, I can't believe I'm going through this. And look at all those other people. They're just doing so good. But they're going through the same thing that we are. And if I'm mindful of that, not just thinking about myself, or we're thinking about ourselves and what's wrong with us and how many things I have to deal with, but we're thinking about, you know what? I bet that person can just use a hug or a, you know, if you're a hugger, or they could just use a cup of coffee. I'm going to go buy that person a cup of coffee. Maybe it's a person at work. I see that they're just don't really seem themselves. I'm going to go ask them how they're doing. It's compassion. That's being mindful of others. That's being who God was, is being compassionate. As I said, God is merciful to me, even though I'm a mess sometimes. Just sometimes. I'm a mess. Not all the time. How can I, or how can we, not have mercy and compassion too after receiving that? Just like that scripture said, we've received that from Him. Now we can freely give that to others around us. If we're going to make a difference in the lives of others, we're going to have to put ourselves in their place every now and then, but hopefully most of the time, or all the time. God put Himself in our place in a major way, not just emotionally like we have to do, but physically, sending His Son to be really taking on human form. It has to be bad enough, you know, somebody that's God taking on our kind of sinful form, but then also going and dying on the cross for us so that we could have that right relationship with God. Physically, He gave all because of His compassion for us. John 3:17 says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." But to save the world through Him. God is mindful of us. Just a simple statement like that, and I just think, how unbelievable is that? That God is mindful of me. I think of that song, and I'm not sure if this is exactly how it's said, but it says, "Who am I that You are mindful of me?" I love that song, and that line in that song. Who am I, God, that You are mindful of me, that You're thinking about me? Little old me. In the scripture we read already this morning, I'll read it again. It says, "Then Jesus went out about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd." He had compassion for them because He saw they were a mess. Like I said, one of the greatest things that Jesus does or did or does all the time is putting himself in our place so that we don't have to take the full weight of really what we should. He's put himself there to take that weight and that burden from us so that we can have that relationship with God. Of course, that's why God sent his son, and he's just asking us to do the same thing. Not give our son to be sacrificed, but to put ourselves in somebody else's place, to be mindful of them. Remember, compassion, it's empathy. It's thinking of someone else. Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? I don't think I gave this one. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Simple statement. If they haven't heard it, how are they going to believe? If they haven't heard it, how are they going to believe? And who's going to go tell them? And my whole message today is just saying, view the people around you. View all of the family, friends, co-workers. Why don't we try to do that as we leave here today and go through our week? Let's try to view them how God would. Like, just stop and think. Like, okay, I'm not going to view them the way that I would, tending to think, you know what, they're just, you know what, they haven't been very nice, and I'm sure they're going to treat me bad later today. It's my boss. He's going to come in here and yell at me and stuff. So I'm not going to be very nice to him. But let's think about how God would think of them. You know, what's going on in his family? What does he have to deal with every day? What's the weight on his shoulders, and how hard must it be to do what he does? And you know what? I bet nobody, especially if he's the boss of the bosses, I bet nobody's come to him and just thanked him for what he does and told him how great a job he's doing today. And I bet that would just brighten his day. Again, maybe it's even more than that. Maybe it's he's really showing it. He's showing that there's a lot of weight on him. And maybe he just needs encouragement, or I could just ask him, say, hey, can I pray with you? You seem like you're feeling a little under the weather or something. And I just believe God can remove that. Can I just pray for you? You know, so many times we don't do these things because we feel fearful. And of course, like I said, I mean, that's the way that I was. I was always fearful of talking to anybody that wasn't a close friend. But so many times people are just waiting for somebody to ask them how they're doing. Okay, they're not waiting for somebody to come yell at them or tell them how bad they're doing or tell them that they're a mean boss, but they're waiting probably on the edge of their seat for somebody to come and tell them how much that they're appreciated or how glad that you are that they're your friend or that you get to work with them or that what have you. I guarantee, I mean, there aren't very many people in the world that just would loathe being encouraged. It just doesn't happen. Matthew 7, 24 through 27 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is likewise a man who built his house on the rock." Okay, this is the part I want to focus on, that what I just read. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice," "is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears the words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." Practice makes perfect, right? We've all heard that before. And a little different in the way that I'm meaning. Practice makes perfect because it, as it says here, it's putting me more in line with God and putting me like, okay, as I practice this being compassionate and loving people and giving them the grace that I was given by my Heavenly Father, as I do that, I'm being moved more and more onto the rock that no matter what happens in my life, no matter what storm comes, and storms will come, but you could imagine, the more I'm doing things in this way, with compassion, grace, love, the more stability, I'm just going to stand here and nothing is going to bother me. The wind's going to be going all around me. The water's maybe getting deep, but I'm just standing here like it's no big deal because I'm on the rock. Amen. Practice makes perfect. What does that mean? Practice makes me more like God, more like who He is, having the heart of God, having His mind, being mindful of other people. Oh, you know what? I just want to be like Him. Of course, I can't completely be like Him, but I just want to strive every day just to be a little bit more like my Heavenly Father, with love, peace, patience, compassion, graciousness, all these things that I'm not, but He is. He's mercy, He's compassion, and He's peace. He's not judgment. He's not contempt. He's not envy or strife or any of those things. He's love. He's being nice to people because you know that they need it. Because you know that they're craving somebody just to come up and talk with them or show them a little love. God is love. We want people to come be a part of what God's doing at Life Church. And these messages over the next couple of weeks, we're kind of gearing up for Easter because it's actually not that far away, crazy enough. It seems, which actually you guys know that we've already been here a full year. Actually, just passed it. And I'm so amazed. You know, God is good, and He's been so good to us at Life Church and here in Central West End. We've been able to do so many amazing things. But the point of these messages isn't just to build a church. It's for people to build relationship with God. Of course, we want you to invite people to come to church and to be a part of what we're doing. But it's so that they can experience the same thing that you are. Not for any other reason. Not to build a church, because I really don't care if we were in here or meeting outside or what. I just want us all to be in right relationship with Him. I want us all to experience that grace and compassion. And not just us, but everybody here in Central West End, everybody in St. Louis, to experience this. That's what it's about. That's why we're all supposed to gather around and do this work. You know, I was actually in my study, I was reading, there's different stuff about, I don't know, just research, and I came across, there was a story of somebody was saying, excuse me, that they read this sign in front of a church. You know how some churches, they post the name of the church and then the pastor, or the says the minister maybe or something. And in this church, it said, you know, whatever church. And then it said minister. And then right next to it, it said everybody or every member or everybody or something like that. And that really just sums it up, just what I'm saying. Like if we had a sign that said the name of our church and who's the minister, it shouldn't be me or Pastor Rick or Pastor Mike. It should be Life Church, minister, every single person that comes in. That's what we're doing here. That's, look, it's like, if I can use a basketball analogy, and I'm not like some great sports person, but, I mean, I am good at sports, but like, I'm not the owner of the team. It's like I'm the captain of the team. We're all doing it together, and maybe I can come and give you encouragement, come and speak an encouraging word, or hey, we need to do it this way, but we're all going out on the court, and it's all of us that are gonna make the team win, every single one of us. That's what it is. That's what Life Church is, amen? So I just hope that you're encouraged to just reach out this week and really for the rest of your lives. This message just isn't for just this week. It's hopefully to change the rest of our lives to reaching out with compassion and mercy and loving on people. Amen.
Thank you for being part of the teaching ministry of Life Church. Our hope is that you take this message and apply it to your life in a practical way. If you would like more information about this ministry and you are in the St. Louis area, call us at 314-843-5575. If you are outside the St. Louis area, call us toll-free at 1-800-610-LIFE. If you would like to write us, our address is 1416 Larkin Williams Road, Fenton, Missouri, 63026. Or visit us at our website at lifechurch-stl.com.